Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Once we're established in lordship, the mountain of authority is in the realm of the kingdom of God. Then there are different realms of heaven. That in that realm, you know, let's say we're just talking about our own life right now. We have seven mountains that are spheres of government that our scroll will assign us to. And we need to find out what they are, because then that shows us that where we were. And, you know, Paul said, I'm not going to go beyond the territory that I've been given. Mm-hmm. And so we've all been given territory, and the things can be like family, you know, that we have government within our family. It could be the workplace, it could be a church ministry, it could be a prophetic call or anything. You know, there's no limit to what those are. And, you know, I've had people talk to me about different things in those mountains, and I think, oh wow, never really thought about that as being a mountain. Then it was like, oh yeah. You know, so we just need to find out what those things are, and we'll just discover, you know, where we're called to govern. But when we're sat and seated, we get invested into that place. You know, we get invested onto our mountain. And, you know, I talked about this the other day. I can't remember where I talked about it now. There are four words about 6 years ago God spoke to me about: investiture, succession, enthronement, coronation. And the investiture, in our culture, we have a monarchy. And when the heir to the throne gets to the age of responsibility, and this happened, I think, in sort of 1970-something, where Prince Charles, you know, he was invested in Carnarvon Castle in Wales as the Prince of Wales. He'd come to the age of responsibility, and now he was going to be invested. He will be the next king, providing the Queen doesn't live on for another 30, 40 years. And, So he was invested with that, and there was clothes that were put on him. He was on a throne, and it was like, we recognize that you will be the next king. Now you've come to the age of responsibility. So when we get to the point of we've been good stewards, we've become friends, now God wants to release us into greater dimensions of authority. He invests us on that mountain, and he gives us usually a crown and a mantle and a scepter. And sometimes you get weapons, depending on what you're called to do. And you get lots of stuff. I mean, it's like, it's cool stuff. But, and then you then begin to administer the principles of the kingdom, because you're going through this Zechariah 3, 6 and 7 journey. We've learned to walk in his ways. We're faithful. Now we're now learning to apply the principles of the kingdom, which are protocols of government. So we get access to the courts of heaven, the councils of heaven, and there's a whole process of judicial protocol, because in any government there's protocol, you know, and there are different systems in different courts, and you have to learn how to engage. But you get the seven spirits of God assigned to you to help you in this process, because it's all about position of government and position or mandate of authority. So this is, people sort of struggle sometimes over these mountain sort of picture, but literally that is your governmental position in that realm. And it's like God's government is a mountain, our government is a mountain, and it's like we take that governmental position, and that is where we're recognized by the angelic realm as having authority, because we're enthroned, and of course God is enthroned in us. Without God being enthroned in us, this is impossible. Because heaven only recognizes that which looks like it. So God is enthroned in heaven. When he's enthroned in us, it recognizes us. And the angelic canopy comes around us. So we begin to administer the principles. And you think, well, what are those principles? There's loads of them, you know. And I'm working on the 12 principles. I know you've heard of Ian talk a lot. He mentions the 12 laws that come out of Jerusalem. And there are 12 principles. That's how we walk in his ways here. Law of sowing and reaping, law of the spirit of life in God, you know, law of faith, loads of them. He's never ever mentioned the 12 that come out of Zion in any of the teaching. He's mentioned that there are 12. He's never taught it. Now, in my journey, God has taken me to the firestones and some things. And in terms of the Chancellor's court, and he's given me a Chancellor's seal. Now, I was wondering, what do you do with this seal? You know, and it was like an ornate gold patterned seal. And then he gave me a staff, and the seal can go on top of the staff, or it can be around my neck. And I'm sort of like, I'm just learning this stuff. I mean, this is a work in progress, and I'm just learning how to do certain things. And wisdom is a really great person to engage with to help you in the protocols of government. I learned most of what I know through wisdom. She taught me, took me to courts, showed me the protocol, helped me to understand how to do certain things. And I go to Wisdom's Heights a lot, and I look into her and I engage some of the doors there. So the first time I got to use this seal, I've found four doors that are there on Wisdom's Heights. There's also where the way is and where the pathways meet and the gateway to go into the Mountain of God. They're all there, and there's a pillar of wisdom and different stuff. And so I'm there one day, and she says, go through this door. Now, in actual fact, I want to tell the story because it's a good story. I'm in worship. I mean, on a Sunday morning, it's like I'm just lost in worship. It's like, and I'm surrounded by fire. You know, and I think, okay, is this a transformation fire? And I'm sort of like thinking, I'm feeling pretty hot. Yeah, I'm just surrounded by these flames. And so I'm like, okay, I'm there. So I'm sort of just entering into it, and then wisdom basically pulls me out of my body in the spirit. You know, so my body is still there in the fire, but I'm somewhere else. You know, I'm totally now unaware of what's going on in the room. You know, now fortunately these things happen quickly in the realm of heaven at times. Although this was quite a long experience, but actually it wasn't long from where I was in this situation. So I go to Wisdom's Heights, and she gives me this staff with this seal at this point. And so she says, go through this door. So I open the door, and it's just like flames. And so, okay, this is a bit of a preparation, was it? So I go through this door, and I get to walk, and I'm going under the earth. This is the door into under the earth. And I get to see this big door, and there's this big demonic thing that looked like, if you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, the Balrog. It's this thing that Gandalf sort of took on in the Mines of Moria. I like films. So God speaks to me through things all the time like that. So I'm there, and immediately it came to me, so I need to get in that door. This thing's barring my way. So I have this staff in my hand with this thing. And I, again, immediately it came to me, oh, this looks like the staff that Harrison Ford used in Raiders of the Lost Ark to shine the light down and see where the thing was in the city. I thought, right. And then what did Gandalf do with that staff? He slammed it in the ground and said, you shall not pass. I slammed it in the ground and said, open the door. And the door just opened, and this thing just out of the way. So now I'm going into Satan's trophy room. And this is where this, under the earth. I walked in, it was the saddest place I've ever felt. I mean, I've been to hell and a few times, and I felt the oppressiveness of hell. This was sadness. It was just like, and I could see in one area you get all Satan's trophies. So those who are not yet believers are there as trophies. I'm going to rabbit trails here, aren't I? But okay. When I went into heaven one time, and I was with Jesus, and I was in this sort of chariot thing, being pulled by fiery horses, and we went through into this area, and I was you know where it talks about the train of his robe filled the temple. Well, the train of his robe was flowing back over the back of this chariot, and I was having a look, and it kept sparkling. Like there was a sparkle, and it was a sparkle, and it was a sparkle. I'm looking. So I thought, what's that? He said, that is when one of Satan's trophies is recovered. Because it becomes a jewel that sparkles on his train. You know, and so it sparkles a lot.
Awesome.
You know, so I just want to throw that one in.
Yeah. Good rabbit trail.
But, yeah. But actually, they reckon there's some around 176,000 people every day that come into the kingdom around the world. Now, we don't see that in the Western world, but when you look into Brazil and South America and China and other places, Africa, you know, the population is out, the birth of Christianity is outgrowing the population. Yeah, it's not yet in the West, but it will be. It's coming. You know, so we want to see all those sparkles from people who are trophies. So anyway, I'm in the trophy room. I'm seeing this and I feel really sad. Really, really sad. You know, and I'm sort of looking and I saw mantles of ministry that had been lost and the enemy had robbed. And again, I'm sort of sad, but then I start to get indignant. You know, it's something in my spirit start to rise up. How dare he take this stuff? And then I went to another area, and in that area, it was an area called Heritage. And I saw my family line, and I saw the Christian heritage it should have had that had been robbed by the enemy. Wow. Now, I really got indignant over this. It was like, because basically, I guess my mum is a Christian, but she was fairly sort of passive when I was little, and my dad wasn't, and his family line certainly wasn't. And so I recognized that the enemy had robbed my heritage, because I should have had passed on to me a Christian heritage, whereas I've had to start from scratch, basically, where most of us do. I mean, those of you who have got a Christian heritage, value it. You may have not liked it as a kid, and you may have rebelled against it, and you may not have, but actually it is a valuable thing. And so I looked at this, I saw this, and then I actually, it came to me that actually we can get it back.
Yes.
Although it's been robbed, in our generation, think about our generation and the Joshua generation, what if we were to get back and rolled into one generation all the heritage of every generation?
Yes.
And it was like, so I'm in this place with this seal. And I've got this chancellor's seal and I have this thing, and it's like I get hoiked out of there. You know, it's like I get pulled back out because I'm just still going to start to do stuff. but I would begin to do stuff out of my own agenda. Because I was rising up, which was a godly indignance, but I was in danger. So I got pulled out. But what I learned is that wisdom gives you protocols, and she starts to show you things that then, what do I do with that now? I take it back to the ark, I cultivate desire around that, what I've seen, and I get the, what does it look like from God's perspective? And then when that desire has been cultivated to overcome the cost that it will be to get that, because there'll be a cost, you know, you can't tackle that level of robbery and theft from the enemy, you have to go to his camp to get it back. So there's a cost, you know, and I had sort of picked up that I hadn't paid the cost yet to be able to do this. But by cultivating the desire, I would be willing to pay the cost no matter what it is. And I'm not sure what it is yet, because I'm still in the process. But God shows you things and he gives you experiences and he gives you glimpses into things that he was looking for you if you will cultivate them. Because if you don't cultivate them, they will never produce the desire to be outworked. So God gives us glimpses of things quite often. Just because you get a glimpse, don't devalue it. Actually cherish it. You know, when God overshadowed Mary, she pondered those things in her heart. You know, and that's what we have to do. Ponder them, cherish them, begin to cultivate desire for them, and then God will then begin to release the mandate. You see, he showed me what was possible. Now I'm cultivating desire, and then eventually he will give me the mandate. Now I will be authorized to do this. Because just because you see something in the realms of heaven does not give you permission or authorization necessarily to deal with it. And people have got into trouble because they've tried to deal with something that they saw thinking just because they saw it, they had authorization. In my own situation at home, I saw a white dragon circling our area for 2 years. Now, I know that white dragons are associated with deception, religion. They present themselves as something good and white, but they're actually not. And this was circling. And I was like, I was chairman of our local churches together thing. So I have a level of authority within it. I had no permission from God to deal with this. And it's like, I'm sort of, you know. And I knew this was affecting certain churches. And I knew it was having a negative effect. But I couldn't deal with it, even though I knew it. So I began to, again, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, and what he told me to do, what to do is you need to encourage the group of church leaders to embrace intimacy, to give me space. And so you have to be wise in what you share and what you don't share, because this is sort of like Anglican, Methodist, all sorts of churches. But I mean, it's totally ironic that they would choose me to be their chairman, but I've been that from the beginning. And I began to encourage them, and we had some away days looking at intimacy. And then it was like I took the plunge, because we were worshiping together, and one of the songs was about coming before the throne of grace. So I sort of stopped it. I said, okay, do you really want to come before the throne of grace now? And no. So I said, well, let's go then. So I said, close your eyes. And they were like, so, okay, close your eyes. Okay, we're just going to step into heaven. And I can open a door. I said, okay, we're going to step before the throne of grace. I'm going to come in this. And God is going to give us grace and mercy for what we need to do. And so and then after a while, I said, okay, let's come back. What did you see? What did you feel? Now, some were like, well, I didn't see anything, but God spoke to me of this. And so, well, I had this vision. So I pulled it all together. And it was like, what it came out of is God said, give me room. If you give me room within your calendar and your agenda and your meetings, I will come. So that was a word. It was a word. And it's like, no, of course, they had to take it back. And what they do with it is their responsibility. But what came out of this, we normally have a Good Friday gathering in the center of our town in which we just worship, and we have a couple of crosses and stuff. And that's been building over the years from, I mean, I never wanted to do that sort of stuff. It's like, yeah, it's my day off. I really don't want to do it. But actually, I started to embrace, okay, no, let's really see that we're taking standing in the town. We're owning this belongs to God, and we're standing here in recognition of that. So I put some effort into it, and you know, it grew, and we had sort of 200 or 300 people who would gather in the middle of the town and we'd worship. So, but this year it was like, okay, God, what are you saying this year? You want us to give us room? So we did, and what we felt God say was, we're going to take the crosses, and we're not just going to take 2 or 3 crosses. We're going to take as many crosses as we possibly can, and we're going to line the whole high street, because we've got a high street which runs, you know, a couple hundred yards with all the shops. And so we stood, and we're not going to worship. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to stand in silence around a cross. And so we had about 30 crosses, and we stood the thing. Now, I don't know what anyone else was doing while they were standing by the cross, but I was in heaven. And I was seeing this white dragon. Wow. And it's like, now, he said, now you have permission. Wow. And so I'm like, well, yes. I've been waiting for 2 years to deal with this. Wow. And it's like, and so I used the revelation of we're standing here in obedience, giving you space. And I began looking around the spirit. All the angels were lining the high street. I mean, it was just like, wow. So I sort of get this sword and I slice this thing's head off and deal with its tail and open it up. And it's like all this stuff comes out. You know, it's like there is, you know, when I say stuff, it means, you know, all sorts of various things came out, you know. And then I take those things and then I begin to cherish those things, and it's then, okay, we're going to release those things. So it's like you have to wait for permission. And permission can be sometimes a time coming, because God's agenda, he sees a bigger picture. And it's just just because we have the authority to administer certain things doesn't mean that we do out of the right time. That's what I'm trying to say with this, with the illustration. And you wait until you have a mandate. And when you have a mandate, then you know you have authority. See, whenever I have a mandate to do a deal with a dragon, it's like I am bigger than that dragon. It's like when you deal with dragons initially, some people I've helped to do this, they're like, oh, this big dragon, I feel so small. And I said, well, okay, well, what has God said to you recently? So, well, I have this scripture on my mind. Okay, what do you think that scripture is talking to you about? Oh, this. Well, use that scripture as your weapon, because God has given you that scripture or that impression or that revelation recently, so you can rise up and actually, and whenever you use a sword and you use those words and you declare them, literally the whole thing comes down to size. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not big. You are bigger. You have greater authority, but if you see yourself as a grasshopper in front of a giant or a dragon, then you will find it very difficult to actually deal with it. You have to see yourself as, no, this is obstructing or stopping and hindering my governmental sphere, and I have authority over it, and I deal with it. You know, it's so much easier to deal with it from above. You just come and cut its head off. Those of you who saw some of my early hangouts, you've got to see I've got a picture on my wall of a dragon with a guy with a sword dealing with it. Someone gave it me as a Christmas present one year. So I stick it on my wall. Because it reminds me, actually, now I have authority to deal with these things. You know, so we're learning about the principles of the kingdom, of how to administer them, and God is teaching us the protocols. And there are lots of protocols. And how did I get onto this? Okay, the 12 laws that come out of Zion. It's to do with chancellor's authority, and there are 12 chancellor's houses. And I'm just exploring that stuff at the minute. And I want to find those 12 laws, and I want to release those 12 laws so people know how to bring the rule of God into the principles of God and how to administer it. Because it's like, well, what do we do? Well, I can show you some of the things we can do, but actually we need to know the principles and protocols of God, you know, and so that's where we are. And then basically Jesus will always take us to the Father. So then the Father is enthroned on our throne, and then he starts to teach us how to be a king. You know, that's the initial thing. We get kingship. Kingship takes you to a higher level of courts. You can go to the court of kings. You can begin to legislate. See, a lord only operates under legislation of the king. But when you get enthroned in kingship, you begin to legislate, which means you can begin to make laws out of that which is within your spirit. Now, I did this once. Again, I was with wisdom. Wisdom basically took me to this court, the court of kings. Now, usually I've been to the court of chancellors or the court of scribes, and I sort of stand before a bench and present things for authorization, and I'm sort of stood there. This time I was sat at the bench, and there was a scroll in front of me, empty. And so I'm looking at it, sort of thinking, what do I do with this? Then all of a sudden, out of my spirit, just got birthed these declarations. And as I spoke them out of my spirit, they got written on the scroll. Wow. And there were like 8 or 9, 10 declarations on this scroll. And the title of it was The Law of Fatherhood and Sonship. And I'm like, wow, so, what do I do with it now? You know, so it's like, she said, okay, we're gonna need to go now to the Court of Chancellors. So I take this scroll to the Court of Chancellors, present it before them, and they're looking at it, and then they seal it with the lion, the ox, and the eagle. So they give it a seal. So it's like, okay, great, what do you do now? And this is sort of a shortened version of the sort of journey, but then she's right, now we're going to go to the court of the scribes. So we go to the court of scribes, I take this authorized scroll, take it to the court of scribes, and they write it out on a scroll and put it into record. Now it is a law. It is now legislation in heaven. And I can administer that legislation from my mountain. Now, because it was to do with not just me, it was to do with church, I then took that to our bench of three. I'm one of them, took up the other two. I said, okay, this is what happened. I shared this. They were like, wow, what do we do with that? I said, well, I don't know. That's my first reaction. I've just brought it before you. So, okay, oh, well, let's go into heaven together. So we take this scroll back into heaven together, and we take it to the court of strategy. Because we now, what's the strategy for actually outworking this law? So we go in the court of strategy, and three of us go, and we all see different things. But what we saw was, we need agreement on earth. So we took this then, what we saw in the spirit of what we were going to do. We had a strategy. We took it to our group of 12. I printed it out on a scroll. You know, used my computer and found a scroll picture and then wrote all the things on it, printed them out, 12 scrolls. So gave it one to each of the 12. So, okay, this I went through the story and explained what we're doing. Okay, do you feel a resonance in your heart to this? Are we in agreement here that actually this is what God's protocol is from heaven for us? And, you know, we went through a process of talking through. And so, yeah, let's agree. So then we step back into the court of kings together as 12. And these are the things we're learning how to do. And it sounds like I'm an expert at this. I really aren't. I fly by the seat of my pants a lot of the time. It's just like, God, what do I do? What do we do? Give us help. You know, I go to the court and give me some strategy. So we take it back to the court of kings and I declare it. And as I'm declaring it, one of the other guys, he's seeing this scene in the court and he's seeing that each of the 12 get given a different stone and they get given a different mantle in this process. And so it's okay, so we agreed this, bring it out of heaven. I was away on the next Sunday, and on Sunday they had an immediate encounter with the Father. And sonship, just like the men in the room, just dissolved. They were all in tears. You know, and so it wasn't planned. It was just, we'd now have a law, have a legislative authority to release. Now, there were other things that were on there that we're working through, but we saw an immediate result of that. You know, and it was like, it was a really powerful encounter where the Father showed up and started to draw people back into sonship. You know, so, you know, there's lots of these things that you just learn and you begin to learn, but wisdom taught me. You know, because it says in Proverbs 8, I think 15, 16, that she is there to teach or to engage with kings, princes and nobles to help them rule in righteousness. You know, and so, you know, I wondered about some of these things because, like, well, and I know people say these things, you talk about angels and you talk about chancellors and you talk about wisdom. Well, what about God? And it's a good, fair point. I mean, because I thought that. And I went to the Father one day and I said, are you jealous? Because I was feeling, it's like, I keep hanging out with wisdom. And his response was, well, why do you think wisdom's there? I have got all this other stuff to do. She is designed to train you and teach you and help you, as are the seven spirits of God. Now, I've engaged all of the seven spirits of God individually and met them and talked to them. I never really enrolled in the training thing, but they're involved in my life all the time. And I recognize them as certain colors that suddenly I get sort of hues of around me at times. And they guide me and they help me. You know, in judicial protocol, it's about my position of authority in the kingdom. You know, and I don't sort of go and talk to them individually a lot now, but I know that they're there because they are tutors. They're tutoring me. Another one of the things on these thrones, when I first saw this stuff, I was just like, wow, you know, and then it's like, what do I do? Because I'm sort of an active, I want to do stuff. Because it's like, you know, so I'm like, what do I do? And it's like, so I'm on my throne. Now, when I get to take people back to these things in encounters, I get a chance to look more clearly than what I do in my daily life because I'm chilled and relaxed and just helping people to engage. So I sometimes have a look. So I thought, I'm going to look at my throne. Because I don't look at my throne. What does it look like? I don't know. I'm sat on it. Because it's about function, not form. It's about ruling. So I didn't even bother to look at what it looked like. So I think, I'm going to look at my throne. So I was taking people to their mountains. Oh, I'm going to go and look at my mountain. So I went and looked, and there behind my mountain was this big angel on my throne, big angel. So I've never noticed you. Oh, literally, that's what I thought. I've never noticed you. And it's, well, you've never looked. And it's like, and this was one of those dough moments. Because that is the angel that's assigned in heaven to us to caretake our thrones until we are in maturity to sit on them. So they administer certain things in our lives from that position of authority when we're not. That's why we get some good stuff. Because even though we're not at that level of maturity, God is still working through our lives. So I look at this and start talking to him and ask him what his name is. And it's like, I said, well, what are you there for? Well, I'm there to help you with the protocol of rulership. And I thought, oh, all this time when I sit on my throne, I'm thinking, what do I do? It's like, it's right behind me. You know, and actually, sometimes I talk to him, you know, and I'm now conscious that he is there to help because God's assigned him to my position of authority. You know, so these things are just, you just learn. You know, I had so many forerunner experiences. I had no idea where most of them were until I began to go back and cherish them and begin to nurture it and then find out where it is. You know, that's why I've got this map of heaven that I've sort of mapped out of all the places I go, which is these sort of pathways, you know. So, you know, when you're in kingship, you get a thing. Now, the symbol that God gave me of kingship was an orb. It's like a round silver orb with a cross on it. And now, again, because we've got a monarch, when you look at some of the photographs of her when she's on her throne, she carries a scepter and an orb. And the orb is the symbol of being able to legislate authority. Yeah? So I was given this thing a while before I got on the throne, thinking, well, what's this for? You know, because God sometimes gives you things, and again, he wants you then to pursue. What does this mean? What does it mean in terms of authority? And then as I get invested into this, particularly in the Bench of Three stuff, at this higher level of authority in this realm, I suddenly start to see, okay, I can begin to legislate. Now, you know, I've been working with sort of people, a few guys in terms of benches in some of the hangouts that I do. And recently I really felt to challenge them on what legislation they were making, you know, because I don't want to just be hanging out with people. I want them to be embracing their destiny and the authority that they've got. So I challenged them and I suddenly started asking, well, okay, what legislation have you been making recently? And they sort of like looking at me, some of them knew, yeah, because it's like you can get comfortable operating in lordship and it's like, you know, but actually there's more, you know, and as we recognize God's fatherhood, then he begins to engage us. Now, then we get to judge the courts. We get to have charge of the courts. And these are these systems, because that's the next stage in the Zechariah 3:7, charge of the courts. Now, we have charge of the courts, notice. But we have to learn how to operate the courts. You can't go into a court and, oh, well, we're going to do what I want. There's a protocol which you learn. And there are lots of different levels of courts that you learn how to operate the different protocols in the different courts. And that's what wisdom does. Well, for me, wisdom helped me. So I am now learning about the different courts. And then you can engage with the court of the upright, where the men in white linen are. And there are certain men in white linen that have traded into our destiny because they've recognized something that they relate to. And they have wisdom to impart. And often they have mantles to impart and sometimes torches to impart to carry something on thing. And so you sort of learn. And then, of course, you know, when you're really engaged with the Father, he wants to make you aware of your sonship. And sonship gives you access to stand in the counsels of God outside of the realm of heaven, in the heaven of heavens. And there are different levels of authority and government there. You know, there are very, very few people who are operating in sonship. Very few. I'm not operating in sonship. I'm operating in kingship, and I'm sort of yearning towards it and moving towards it. And I've been given some forerunner experiences of going into the Galactic Council and going into some of the other places in that realm. And I've been into perfection in that area when I met God in the dark cloud. So I've had some experiences, but I'm not operating in fullness. I'm learning, and I want to be faithful with operating in kingship, and so I can actually operate in sonship. Now, for me, I was talking to someone the other day. I think, here and about this. And because of what God has called me to do, it's a little bit like I'm a jack of all trades and master of none, because he won't let me stay there long enough to actually do it, because I'm supposed to pass it on to others for them to do. Then he takes me and teaches me something else that I know about, I do, but I don't get to follow everything through. I would love to be sat on the throne over our region and actually administrate it until I saw the establishment of a city of refuge and the fullness of it. But he won't let me. He just wants me to empower others to do that, which is a little bit frustrating. But it's also exciting because I get to see new things all the time, you know, and he keeps taking me to new places and, you know. So this is a journey that we're all on. You know, I don't know where you are on that journey. You may be just in being engaging in stewardship right now, but he's wooing you into sonship, to come in friends, to be friends. You know, you may be operating in friendship right now and developing the intimacy and learning to cultivate the relationship in your heart. That's great. Just don't stay there. Just be willing to let him take you on this journey and continue to invest you with more and more authority so that you will be able to outwork the fullness of your destiny and to flow through this stuff. Because it is really exciting. I mean, it's like coming from, you know, where I've come from, not even having anyone who understood baptism in water, let alone baptism in the Spirit, it's like having engagement with this stuff is just like beyond, you know, that scripture that says that God is able to do more than we can imagine or think. It's that I could not imagine or think any of this. It's that I could not make this up. It's like I didn't have the capacity to imagine this. It's like this is real, but we have to learn how to engage it. You know, and I just know there is so much more. I mean, I know virtually nothing compared to what there is to know. It's like there's so much more. But when we become sons, then the level of understanding and the level of this will increase. And then he wants to manifest sons on the earth. Back to the first scripture in Romans 8, so that we can bring the glory of the freedom of that sonship to bring creation back into its original condition and order. Is that good?
Awesome.
Okay. I think it'll be a good place to stop.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.